I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, political science professor and blogger Lester Spence, Indian Country Today reporter Rob Capriccioso, and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, it's good to be here.
Good to be here, Jimmy.
Well, today I want to start off the shop with a bit of a somber note. A 7.0 earthquake struck Haiti on Wednesday, and President Obama has responded swiftly with promises for aid. He's also tapped former President George W. Bush to help lead the U.S. humanitarian effort, along with former President Clinton, Michelle. Wow.
I know. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
I think that's a pretty dynamic duo, but I wouldn't have put those two together. Lester Spence, what do you think about that, Doc?
Yeah, I had the exact same feeling about it that you did. I think that Clinton makes a great deal of sense because he's been fighting for this issue for a while, or fighting for Haiti for a while. George Bush, I was kind of clueless about.
Well, why not? I know, Ken, what do you think about that? Why not? I mean, I think from a stature perspective, the immediate past president says that this is a vital matter. You're kind of reaching out to all sectors. What do you think?
Well, actually, I kind of thought it was a very interesting move. It almost gives President Bush, former President Bush, a second chance, like a redemption in a sense, because of how he bungled, mismanaged Hurricane Katrina in 2005. And I think a lot of people feel that. I think even the administration, the Bush administration, would be the first people to agree that they did not handle it the way they should have, nor did the governorship of Kathleen Blanco, neither did Mayor Ray Nagin. Everybody failed. Government failed. And to see President Obama out front immediately on the Haitian crisis, and it's just horrific beyond comprehension, the losses that's there, and as if Haiti has not suffered enough.
Yet, right.
And of course, so to have Bush and Clinton there, of course, Clinton has more important things to do. Friday, he's going to be campaigning for Martha Coakley in Massachusetts in the Senate race. But of course, Clinton has spent a lot of time working on humanitarian aid. Having Bush there, I think, is a good move.
I made the Katrina connection. I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, I know that the Hurricane Katrina, for example, was very his handling of it actually damaged him with his base, which is something that very rarely happened.
The beginning,
for example,
of his end.
Yeah, Christian evangelicals, for example, profoundly disturbed by his performance in that area. I had never thought of that, so thank you for that. But, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, Ken, I've been aching to get you in the shop for you to take your chair, because I'm really intrigued that exiled President Jean Aristide is talking about coming back or going back to Haiti, you know, to help his fellow countrymen. And how do you read that, man? I can't see that helping the situation.
It's hard to see Haiti, which has suffered so terribly for decades. It's obviously the most downtrodden country in the Western Hemisphere. And for all the aid it's gotten billions and billions of dollars of aid. It's hard to make the case that is, you know, anything that could help. You don't want more political controversy. You don't want more political antagonism. But right now, the less we talk about politics and the more we talk about aid, we're better off.
Amen, brother. Yeah, I think Aristide is just going to bring just strife, you know, to that region. Dr. Spence, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think what we need to be focused on is rebuilding infrastructure to the extent that we have somebody with baggage coming in to take away from that effort. It's a bad move. It's a bad look.
Okay.
Well, moving on to politics here, I think one of the things I'm eager to hear everybody talk about is that comment by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who apologized for making a comment about President Obama during the 2008 presidential campaign. Somebody dimed him out. I mean, this is a private comment that he made to somebody, and somebody dimed him out to two reporters who wrote a book called Game Change. And Reid was quoted as saying, which he clearly said because he apologized for it immediately, that he felt America was ready for a candidate like Obama who was, quote, a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. And so he's been under fire. The president accepted his apology. I'll just play a short clip of what he had to say.
This is a good man who has always been on the right side of history. For him to have used some inartful language in trying to praise me and for people to try to make hay out of that makes absolutely no sense.
But, of course, Jimmy, as you know, some Republicans are calling for Reid to step down, and they accuse Democrats of having a double standard on race. Here's Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele speaking on Fox News Channel. Steele, of course, is African-American. This is what he had to say.
There is this standard where Democrats feel that they can say these things and they can apologize when it comes from the mouths of their own. But if it comes from anyone else, it's racism. Remember, this is the same leader who just a few weeks ago was talking about health care in the context of slavery.
Wow. I think this, for me, it comes under the heading of, you know, this just in, water is wet. Yeah, Dr. Spence, I mean, so wait, we're just now.
Excuse me? What does that mean?
That means we're just now finding out that that white people are a little more comfortable around lighter skinned people, really? Is that news, Dr. Spence?
Yeah, I think Blair Kelly wrote a professor at North Carolina State. She wrote a really, really thoughtful piece about this at Salon. I think there was a moment that was missed here, and that the challenge isn't that he said it. The challenge is that he was right. Right. So we know that linguistic racism exists. That is, blacks who speak a certain way get less resources than blacks who speak another way, unless you're in hip hop. We know that blacks who have lighter skin, and this actually not just here in America, but in Brazil and South Africa, get more stuff than blacks who don't have lighter skin.
How about so all I think around
this
the
was
world,
a moment
Lester?
Where
How
we could have really talked about this stuff deeply. And instead, what we just did on both sides was just try to tear Reed a new one. I don't think that's right.
Ken, what do you
Ken,
think
what's
about
your
that?
Read?
Well, several things. First of all, there's no such thing as a private comment, especially when you're making it to a journalist. Mm-hmm. For Harry Reid to use the N-word, and this is the Negro word, to a white journalist. But it's not about white journalists. I remember when Jesse Jackson talked about Hymietown, that was to Milton Coleman, who was an African-American journalist at the Washington Post. The point is, you don't say these things to a journalist and expect it not to come out. But having said that, there's another issue there, and that's what the Republicans saying about this double standard, because Trent Lott said this, had this homage to Strom Thurmond in 2002, that if he were elected, if he were president, we wouldn't have these problems that we have today, which a lot of people said, wait a second, this means that if this white racist Strom Thurmond was elected in 1948, everything would be fine. And it was actually not the Democrat liberal African-American coalition that drummed Trent Lott out of office. It was the Bush White House, because they were humiliated. The difference between now Michael Steele says there's a hypocrisy here. The difference, of course, is Harry Reid has an exemplary record on civil rights. Trent Lott has opposed civil rights legislation his whole career.
Rob also has been reporting on this, too.
Talking about hypocrisy and double standards, one thing that I've been covering with Indian Country Today is another Fox News appearance that Michael Steele made on January 4th, where he had used the term honest Indian to back up his remarks on conservative principles. And a lot of Native Americans didn't like him using those words. They are offensive. And, you know, dictionaries say they're a slang word for Native Americans. So for Steele to have made the point that Reid should step down without first addressing that controversy and maybe apologizing for it, as the Native American Journalists Association had asked him to do, he ignored that. He didn't return calls to Indian Country Today. He didn't return calls from a lot of blogs, mainstream media outlets on that issue back before the Reid scandal came to light. So then he comes out on the air. He makes, he says Reid should step down for his what he perceived to be racist remarks. So people are asking about the messenger there. How could he have been making this point about someone when he has this background just from a few days ago of not rectifying his own situation with racism?
So you're saying that this was called to his attention at the time. This wasn't a belated
thing. Oh, yeah. This was something he knew about. People, the RNC called that. I called them. They said they'd gotten tons of calls about that issue. Then it wasn't until the next week, January 10th, when he was on Chris Wallace's show on Fox News, where Chris actually asked him a question I wish more journalists would be asking, which was reviewing what he had said.
Well, his own comments.
On his own honest
engine. And what did he say?
He said, if that is a racial slur, I apologize for it. It wasn't meant to be a racial slur. That if conditional has gotten a lot of people angry.
Rob, what do you make of the Negro dialect comment? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that it's fair that a lot of people called Reid on it. If they feel offended by it, why not? And for Reid to apologize, he obviously sees that side of the debate. He knows that it's wrong.
But who says those words anymore? That's what's so strange about it. Who says Negro in the 21st century or the 20th century?
Right. I don't know.
That was his way of being polite, I think.
Well, it shows his age in part. Yeah, maybe that was the word du jour when he was a young adult. If you're just joining us,
he's 150 years old.
He's 70. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. You're listening to our weekly barbershop conversation, and we're speaking with Jimmy Israel, Lester Spence, Rob Capriccioso, and Ken Rudin. Lester, you wanted to say something.
So real quick, there's a signal difference between Trent Lott supporting a segregationist and a racist for president and saying that the world would be a better place, and a senator saying, well, black people who are light-skinned get more stuff, and black people who speak a certain way get more stuff. One is accurate, and one is deeply racist. I'm glad that Reid apologized, but those are two very different things.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, Jimmy, what do you think? I don't think you weighed in on that. Do you think what?
Yeah,
I mean,
again,
you're saying, like, yes, it was accurate, but...
Yeah. I mean, again, for me, it comes under news of the obvious that, you know... African Americans that are lighter skinned and that speak a little closer to what we consider to be the Queen's English or the King's English, you know, are treated differently. So yeah, it was no surprise to me, you know. And he apologized, but he didn't have to apologize to me, as far as I was concerned.
Was that Queen's English thing? I dig at me.
Wait, you're from
let's keep it in motion, right quick.
You're from Queens.
My maiden name is McQueen, so I'm thinking a little subtle hostility there.
McQueen's English.
Moving on. It's official.
Speaking
that
of moving on,
yeah, Jay Leno was back in his old chair hosting NBC's The Tonight Show, and it looks like NBC is fine with Conan O'Brien walking away from the network. Holy mackerel, Andy. We're in trouble because Jay Leno has some of the unfunniest writers in television, and Conan O'Brien probably is one of the funniest people to ever be exposed to the media.
You are so alone in this. I have to tell you, you are so
really?
Alone in this.
Really? Seriously?
You are so alone in this, clearly. I don't know.
Conan O'Brien is brilliant. He's
actually been pretty funny the last couple of nights when he's talked about his own situation, but...
I look at Conan O'Brien as a writer, and a writer that graduated from the desk to in front of the camera, and taken that way, I mean his work in total, it's textbook stuff. It's great stuff. I'm sorry, and we'll lose somebody really important to the medium if he walks away. I'm that dude, and I approve this message.
So important and Conan O'Brien in the same sentence. I'm wrapping my head around that.
I hate to tell you, Michelle.
I am
Team Conan here. So a few more people feel this way. I think that he's a solid comedian. I've had a lot of laughs, and Jay Leno, his humor seems to be, it appeals to. I don't know. Can we say it appeals to more middle of the country people, more
light skinned people?
Right. Yeah. Just speak it, brother. Just speak it. This is the barbershop. Now speak it.
This is a tragic case of white on white violence.
What I'm curious though is, Michelle, what do you like about Jay? What about his humor?
It's soothing.
Besides his chin.
It's soothing. It helps you fall asleep, right?
Yeah. I don't think that's such a bad thing.
First of all, I think Neil Conan is funnier than Conan O'Brien. I mean, if you want to think of it that way.
Wow.
But no, really, I mean, who cares? There's tons of late night comedians. Jay Leno hasn't been funny since Carson left, I think. And I don't mean Kit Carson, I mean Johnny Carson. And I think Conan O'Brien is just not funny. I don't know, he's goofy, but I don't think he's just. I think like Letterman is edgy, and Letterman, for what you like about his private life or not, is more. But Conan O'Brien is just.
Well, it shows you that it's not about age, because Letterman is of the same generation as Leno, and he is still edgy. It's all about. For whatever reason, Conan just, in my view, he didn't make the transition to that space. I mean, I thought his humor was very sort of.
It was a different
in
crowd,
group
I think.
And
different crowd.
You know, it's like you get it or you don't get it, and I don't think it was.
He was given 7 months with The Tonight Show, though, and you know, Jay Leno was being really hurt in the ratings by David Letterman back in the early 90s for the first 18 months of his show. People were saying that maybe Jay shouldn't have been picked back in the early 90s.
But maybe he shouldn't have been dumped this time around. There was nothing wrong with his show at the time that they made that transition. They made that transition for corporate reasons. So you see what I'm saying? You get that job for corporate reasons, not because of any particular flag in the numbers, not because of any particular change in the quality of the show, but just for corporate reasons. It was a corporate transition. It's like an insurance company. Oh, well, we've decided, you know, it's time for you to retire. Excuse me?
But right. Rob makes a great point, though. Rob makes a great point. You know, Conan has not been in there long enough to make it work. This is television. This isn't microwave television. You know, and it's a shame that Jay Leno is kind of pushing his, using his weight, and he's using his weight to kind of push people around. And that's what it feels like to me. It feels like he's using his chin to muscle
Why
in.
Why do you think he has the power Conan. Here? I mean, these are decisions made far above his pay grade, which is considerable.
Right, but he had some good numbers. He had some good numbers in that spot, and they're thinking that if he gets back, and it's a decent numbers, better than Conan's numbers in that spot. And they're thinking that, you know, NBC is spinning around the bowl as it is, and they're thinking that they don't want to take the final turn.
Well, since you love him so much, we will play a short clip of his making fun of his own situation, just so that you and Rob can be happy. Here it is.
Drop it.
I've been giving this situation a lot of thought. You know, this is a true story. When I was a little boy, I remember watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and thinking, someday I'm going to host that show for 7 months. A lot going on in the world. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is in the news. He's still under fire for remarks he made about President Obama's blackness. Bad, yeah. Sources say Reid could face congressional censure or even worse, be promised The Tonight Show at 11:30. It's not good.
I will say he was on a roll, Jimmy, so we'll give you that. So maybe he should get fired more often. Anyway, sorry. Sorry about that.
There's always Arsenio. We can always bring Arsenio back. Right?
Oh, ouch. Jimmy Israel. Thanks, everybody. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist. He writes for TheRoot.com. He's also a presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. He joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Lester Spence is a blogger and political science professor at Johns Hopkins University. He joined us from member station WEAA in Baltimore. Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. And Rob Capriccioso is a reporter for Indian Country Today, the leading national news source for Native Americans. And they joined us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
If Jimmy Israel was president, we wouldn't have these problems today.
Yep.
Other ones. And that's our program for today. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.